You didn't like it? Hey, good morning, everybody. Got a mouthful of corned goose breast here. I followed the recipe in the Merrill Hunting Quarterly, supplied by our buddy David Seacott, and started this a week ago. I left this goose in the marinade in the refrigerator for 9 days and then cooked it in a crock pot. Turned out really, really good. Our guest is Keith Lockwood from Maryland Department of Natural Resources. Good morning, Keith. How are you?
Good morning, Alan.
How are you doing, buddy? I hear you're south of the border today.
Somebody gave me away.
Yeah, they did. But that's all right. Hey, have you ever eaten corned goose breast?
Yes, I have, actually. I've corned goose breast, and I do venison quite often.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, when it's a major part of your diet, you just can't be eating, you know, it's the same old way. So
right.
I try different things.
Yep.
And one thing I tried this year, I made hamburger out of goose breast, and it was pretty good.
I've heard of that. Yep, yep. A lot of guys do sausage, which is also good. But I thought I'd try some of this corn stuff. I've done goose a bunch of different ways. The easiest way was your buddy Dale, who used to be with fisheries. He told me just basically take a goose breast, throw it in a crock pot with a can of gravy and chicken broth. Chicken gravy, chicken broth, and just let her go in the crock pot. It's actually pretty darn good. Now, if you want to season it up press some seasonings into it before you put it in a crock pot, that works good too. But I like it. The corn stuff's good.
So. The one thing that I have learned, though, and I don't know if you've learned this yet, but, you know, the pickling spices, the cloves and such that you can put in there for, you know,
yeah,
corn venison.
Yeah,
boy, don't put that in your regular refrigerator. You have to have another refrigerator out in the barn or something.
No,
it got into my butter.
Oh, everything, man,
everything.
Yep,
everything in the anything like butter. I'm trying to think of what else. A couple other things had that taste to them.
Wow, well, it's not a totally bad taste, but you know, it is a little. It could be a little disconcerting if you put. Put a little butter on some toast, and it tastes like pickling spices.
Well, fortunately, I have a refrigerator that I use for aging my venison. And
there you go.
You know, if I've got some oysters or something, I'll put them out there.
Sure. Gotcha. All right. Well, spring fishing opportunities, outlook, you're on, buddy. Tell me where I want to go fishing this week.
Well, it can't get any better than today.
Okay.
You know, opening day of trout season.
That's right.
It brings back a lot of memories. Of opening day, there's nothing like it. I'm sure there'll be a lot of kids with the seat of their pants will be wet today.
Oh, hey, been there, done that. many times, you know, and I always like to wade out in the water where it's a quarter inch over the top of my hip boots.
Well, that's true. Especially if you're a kid, if you've got knee boots, you'll wind up going over your knees.
Hip right.
Boots, you'll wind up going up to your waist.
That's right. That's
waders,
right.
You'll slip and fall and go right on.
Yeah. I know. Hey, look. I know. We were fishing a trout stream up in Pennsylvania where I grew up. Of course, first day of trout season is like 2 weeks from now, and it's just insane. Insane. Especially the well-stocked popular creeks close to, you know, urban areas.
And, it all comes with it.
Oh, yeah. So we're standing there, and, you know, we're all fishing this one hole, you know, elbow to elbow. Here comes a guy down the center of the stream wading, you know, and he's casting, doing whatever he's doing. He looks up this one guy and goes, catch anything? Guy goes, no, can't. He goes, what do you mean you can't? He goes, you're standing on my bait. So, and I'm sure there's some popular areas in Maryland like that. But for the most part, after tomorrow, you'll pretty much have the trout streams to yourself, you know, midweek.
The stocking crews have worked really hard to try to get all those fish out, and they did.
I know. We had Susan on a couple weeks ago and was telling us some of the challenges about, breaking ice, and not only that, but getting the trucks you know, to a place along the shore where they could actually park without, you know, sinking in or sliding off the berm or whatever. But yeah, it was a challenge, and I guess they got all the fish out, and the guys are out there enjoying it now. First day of trout season.
Yeah. You know, any of your listeners that are sitting in the vehicle waiting or driving to their favorite stream, there's those big breeder trout are out there today, and you know, they'll continue to put those out through the season.
Yeah,
but
the big four or five pound stuff. Yeah, it's always nice to see those.
Yeah, there'll be some hooping and hollering when somebody looks into one of those.
Indeed. Well, what do you know about, I mean, one of the callers here the last hour was talking about, you know, hey, when can I get out for perch? And Paul pretty much said that the weather persists the way it has been. Those perch won't come all the way up. They'll basically spawn where they've massed downstream. Is that?
Now, are we speaking of white perch?
Yellow perch right now.
Yellow perch. Yellow perch are pretty much done.
Yeah.
You know, nothing's always 100%, but the yellow perch, for the most part, are done. They've successfully spawned, and they're going back down the rivers now. And I spoke to some folks that were out the other day, and they were catching some small ones. But let me think. It was last weekend that the white perch really hit the upper chop tank hard.
Right.
And, they came on like gangbusters.
Yep. And I mean, is that typical where, you know, the white, it used to be you could pretty much count on the yellow perch first, and they'd stay for a week or 10 days, and then follow it up with the white perch, and they'd stay for 2 weeks, and, you know, that type of thing. But it seems like everything's screwed up this year.
Well, we've had very cold water.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had some spurts of, you know, there was a couple of times when I went when the water was 43 degrees.
Right.
All it took was one sunny day and, you know, like 70 degrees, and it shot up to 47, and that's all the encouragement those yellow perch needed. And they went roaring up, you know, to the headwaters of
yep.
various tidal rivers.
And then they were done.
And they were done.
Yep.
And there's still some smaller ones hanging around, and you know, there's always some, you know,
yep.
doing that. And guys that are fishing for white perch are catching a few.
Right.
But
have we missed the onslaught for the whites, do you think?
It's so hard to, especially this year, it's so hard to tell.
Hey, look,
I suspect that,
Keith,
you know,
you work for DNR Fisheries. You're supposed to be able to predict everything to the day.
I know, Al. You know, but sometimes the fish they have a hard time communicating. They sometimes just don't tell us what they got on their mind.
Maybe they don't.
I suspect this week it's supposed to be very nice. Once this rain passes through, we're looking at temperatures in the 50s and 60s, and there will be some more white perch.
Oh, sure. No question. Yeah.
And, you know, they usually come in spurts, and the biggest ones, just typical of most species, the larger fish spawn first.
Right.
They can tolerate the colder water, and we'll see some repeated spawning on a white perch for sure.
No doubt. All right. Do you want to talk about specific waterways? You want to talk in general? You tell me. I'd like to find out what's going on the Susquehanna River this time of year, how you can fish it, what you're going to expect to catch, and that type of thing.
Well, right now, the Susquehanna, I think the last time I checked was on Thursday, and the water temp was about 47 degrees top and bottom. It's about the same. And the Conowingo Dam was actually, they were releasing twice a day. They're probably back to once per day now. There was a lot of cold runoff coming down. And, of course, we had that snow on Monday, Tuesday, I guess. That can affect the water temperatures, too.
Well, I mean, I was up at the Great American Outdoor Show there in February, and, I mean, you could walk across the Susquehanna on the ice up there in Harrisburg. So, I mean, that water's got to go somewhere. That cold water's got to, it's eventually going to come. It doesn't warm up that much coming down through Pennsylvania, crossing the Maryland line, getting into the Susquehanna pool, and then, of course, it sinks to the bottom, which is where the water's released from.
Yeah, but so, I would expect there'd be some white perch action this week on the lower Susquehanna. Prior to last week, I was talking to several people, and I did not hear much. There was a couple of fish caught. Guys just can't help themselves. They got fooled around. They just want to go fishing. and they were catching some on small grubs. Some of the guys like to tip their grubs or shad darts with a little piece of bloodworm.
Right.
And I would expect that that's gonna turn on this week.
Okay. What about the bigger predator species, the walleye, the smallmouth, then? You know, that type of thing.
Walleye and smallmouth, there'll be some people who target them. They should be catching those in the lower Susquehanna, too,
because
the water's certainly cold enough. And I was talking to the shad restoration guys, and they haven't seen much in the way of hickory shad yet.
Right.
They will be arriving.
Oh, yeah.
And the striped bass are there, especially the males. There's probably, you know, again, the water's a little cold to be catching them.
Sure.
But the male striped bass are there, and there's surely some large females there. And the same goes for the chop tank and other rivers.
Susquehanna is pretty much off limits to striped bass anyway, and I would prefer personally that people would just let them alone, let them spawn, and let them do their thing and, you know, get it over with. There is a catch and release
thing going on in
the flats, but, you know, I personally let them alone, let them spawn, let them do their thing. I mean, you're not going to catch them all, of course, but when you know when you're on those fish and you're harassing those fish and you're catching those fish and even releasing them, you know, I know. Water temperature, and it doesn't affect them, and they survive, but has the stress affected the spawn? That's the question nobody can ever answer for me.
No, we don't know that, and it would be we looked into it once a long time ago when I was doing a lot of catch and release studies, and it would be an expensive study because you would have to, you know, use satellite tags to see if they stay and spawn or do they retreat. That would be a very expensive study to try to do.
Well, sure. Sure, but I'm thinking maybe, I don't know, common sense. You know, you catch a cow rockfish, you lift her out of the boat.
Yeah.
You know, you take a picture and she's all stressed out. You got her, you know, you got her big belly sagging in there between your arms when you're taking a picture, and then you dump her overboard, and you know she goes over on her side there for a couple minutes and then swims away. I'm sure that wouldn't affect the spawn.
Well, you know, Alan, we're given a lot of choices and a lot of freedom, fortunately, in this country, and that's, you know, we've all heard the term, you know, the code of ethics and hunter's ethics or fisherman's ethics, and that's when that starts to come into play.
Right.
We'll have the same thing during the trophy rockfish season.
Yep.
There's probably a pretty good chance there's going to be a lot of fish that haven't spawned yet by opening day.
Right.
And it's, you know, that opening day is a law. It would have to go through the legislature, and for us, we can't change it.
Right.
And so it's going to be on the shoulders of the fishermen the first week of the trophy rockfish season.
April 19th, you're absolutely right. Yep.
You know, is this a pre-spawn fish, and do I really have to have this fish?
Well, yeah. I do remember a number of years ago, I think it was under the Ehrlich administration, where the governor had a citation that if you caught and released a fish over 40 inches, you would actually get assigned a certification from the governor during that time. I think that's been abandoned at this point.
It was a very poor response on that.
Yeah.
I was involved in that program, and we'd get like two, three, something like that, whereas most of them, you know, the guys went for the regular catch and release award certificate.
Sure.
And we do get them. We do get them.
Oh, sure. Plenty of them. No question about it. All right. Hey, Keith, time for our first break, so hang on there a little bit. All right? All right. Folks, it is time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. We're talking about fishing here now. It's the first day of trout season. Yellow perch, white perch, striped bass, you name it. Well, everything is eligible for the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center. Even prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. New this year is an invasive species award for those catching blue catfish, flathead catfish, and northern snakeheads. Check out the Maryland Youth Fishing Club and the Youth Angler's Log to learn how your youngster can win a guided fishing trip. From now through Labor Day, All you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, the tidal rivers, the Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. So stop by your local fishing citation center where you get your license, or check in the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details. That's G-O-V, in the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Angler Award Program. Again, that website, www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? I sure hope so. Hey, let's not forget, today is the final day of the Splash into Spring event at Talbot Power Sports on Route 50 in Easton, Friday and Saturday, March 28th and 29th. Well, Friday was yesterday. The 29th is today. So, that's it. The headliners are the Can-Am Spider, the Sea-Doo Personal Watercraft, and Can-Am ATVs, with huge savings and the best deals of the season. Now, the Can-Am Spider, that three-wheeled motorcycle with its Y-frame design and seven automotive technologies, you can count on an exhilarating and confident ride. From sport to touring, there's a Can-Am Spider for your riding style. The Sea-Doo Personal Watercraft has over a dozen miles to fit your style. That's right, the exciting new Spark is playful, easy to ride, and family-friendly affordable. So, from beginner to luxury to performance, Sea-Doo has the perfect personal watercraft for your family. Go off-road where adventure lives on a Can-Am ATV, whether it's for work or for play. Choose the Outlander or the Renegade Sport 4x4. That's today only at Talbot Power Sports. Take them down, take the whole family to 9477 Ocean Gateway, Route 50 on the left before you get into town there if you're headed from Baltimore. For food, door prizes, and fun, the Splash into Spring event featuring Can-Am and Sea-Doo. And while you're on your way, why not stop by Chesapeake Outdoors? Chesapeake Outdoors is located on Route 50, or just off Route 50. They're on Kent Island at exit 39B, Dominion Road. 39B is called Dominion Road. Just get off the exit, go around behind the Exxon station. You'll see Chesapeake Outdoors on your right while you're going Route 50. You'll just wind around the Exxon station and go right in the door there to Chesapeake Outdoors. You'll find the Kent Island's largest selection of fishing and crabbing supplies. Everything for rockfish, rods, reels, tackle. They've got the spanking striper, bucktails, and parachutes. They've got the big 16-ounce, 20-ounce, and 24-ounce mojos in custom colors, live and frozen bait, you name it. And, oh, by the way, don't forget the Bubba Blade knife for cleaning your catch. The Bubba Blade, that's right. Also has spring gobbler supplies, zinc calls, and Avian X decoys, shotguns, ammo, calls, you name it, they've got it. Drake waterfowl clothing in great patterns. Few sizes left, 40% off, and don't forget your Under Armour, too. And once more, they are a full-line archery pro shop. Mission and Matthews bows and crossbows, Parker bows and crossbows, Barnett crossbows, they've got it all. They can hook you up. Chesapeake Outdoors, Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road on Kent Island, 410-604-2500, 410-604-2500. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and last longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just up Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything. Their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Stay informed all day on the latest breaking news and stimulating talk. Listen while you work on AM 680 and WCBM.com. The most powerful names in news and talk. Fox News and Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Down in Louisiana, where the alligators grow so mean, there lived a girl that I swear to the world made the alligators look tame. Old Salad Annie, you got your granny. Everybody said it was a shame, 'cause her mama was a working on the chain gang. A mean, vicious, straight razor toting woman. Lord have mercy.
All right. Back with Keith Lockwood, Maryland Department of Natural Resources, looking at some of the opportunities available here in the spring. So, Keith, tell me for these big spawning stripers on opening day, what's your favorite spot and what would be your suggestion for the best bait?
Well, I would say one thing for sure this year, when the guys are out there trolling, I would suspect that you're going to see most of the fish coming off their planer boards. Due to the nature of the water, just this past week, like Thursday, we had 39 degrees top and bottom.
Right.
That's cold.
Yep.
Striped bass. Obviously, it's going to get warmer by April 19th, but the bottom is not. The top is going to get warm by the sun. So those fish are going to be cruising up on top, and they do not like engine noise. So you probably, unless you're way, way back, you're not going to see a lot of fish coming off the flat lines or downriggers. They're probably going to be coming off the planer boards, and you just can't hardly beat a big chartreuse parachute,
right,
or a bucktail with a sassy shad on it. It's just
that's true. That's absolutely true.
Can't resist those things.
I know they're true. Well, you know, I'm going to reveal now, not for the first time, but I'm going to reveal the top 10 colors of trolling lures for striped bass. Are you ready? Chartreuse is number one. White is number two, followed by chartreuse, white, chartreuse, white, chartreuse, white, chartreuse, and white. Those are the 10 colors. I hope you made a note. All right, let's talk to Andy in Catonsville. Good morning, Andy. How you doing?
You got to catch the fishermen with those colors first.
Yeah, that's right. But they've been proven over the many years of the trophy season to be the best colors, that's for sure.
Yeah, I guess those planer boards attract a lot of fish too.
Well, they keep the engine noise out of the fish's face. You know, you got baits out there in quiet water, and the fish are, you know, if they've been spooked out by the engine noise, they're either going way further back or they're going out to the side, and that's what the planer boards do, is put those baits out.
Hi, Andy. Good morning.
Morning. Hey, I sent you over at my first fish for my grandson. I don't know if you
did. I saw that. It's arrived.
And yeah, Alan, my grandson's 23. but Keith got a picture of him when he was 3 years old with a 15-inch rainbow trout.
There you go.
93. He caught it up at Fountain Rock.
Wow.
Yeah, at the hatchery there and all.
Mm-hmm.
And I got all those pictures out for you, Alan, for my first fish contest. I guess I should hold on to them until you put the magazine out again.
That's up to you, buddy. You can send them to me. We can put them on the file, whatever you want to do.
Okay, I'll do that, you know. I mean, every permission, well, most of them are my relatives and all, but
That's
like five kids.
That's fine. Get them to me.
And my grandson, you know.
But, sure.
I distributed some of those up to the store up here in Noel. Some of the guys are 90 years old. They were reminiscing and all. They tell almost as good of stories as you do on the radio.
Probably better. Probably better.
Yeah, but some of them are in their 90s.
Yep. Wow.
But, yeah.
All right.
So, well, we want to get ready to come down and see you, Keith. I'll be giving you a call.
Great. Look forward to it.
Hey, you think the white perch will come up around Beechwood Park if it warms up a little?
Oh, definitely. That's a famous place for catching them there, where that old amusement park is.
Yeah, the problem is that we get a warm day and then we get snow and cold and they go back down, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's just what Mother Nature's given us this spring.
Yep. DNR can
preserve the fish stocks.
DNR can provide the regulations and the creel limits and everything else, but they can't do anything about the weather.
Yeah.
Kind of like a farmer, you know, they got to deal with what's out there. So.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, Andy, appreciate
it. Got to get going.
See you, buddy.
Take care.
Thanks.
Take care, Andy. Bye.
There goes Andy. All right. Okay.
Yeah, those pictures are fine. You know, I have to do all kinds of different things for my job, and one of them that just always brings a tickle to me is seeing these pictures of these kids with their my first fish.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really cute. They're so proud, whether it's a little bluegill or, you know, a trout that they caught at one of the ponds that are stocked. It,
absolutely.
It really is cute.
Did you happen to see the Maryland Hunting Quarterly with the Fishing Outlook? Had your story in it?
That was great. I loved it.
Oh, good. I'm glad you liked that. We put a lot of work into that, so that's good.
I got. It's funny. Being on the Eastern Shore, I wound up getting it up at Tuckerman's. D had them,
yep.
And that was the first one I got. And yep. It's great. Good job.
Well, we appreciate that. We got 32 pages of Fishing Outlook from folks at DNR and some others, and we thought it turned out pretty well, so that's good. All right. Well, Keith, hang on there a minute. We got to do our contract with the Wall Street Journal, and we'll take a little short break here. Stay on there.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Marcy Norton. Move over, hybrids. Here come hydrogen-powered cars. Several automakers are preparing to roll out emission-free cars powered by hydrogen fuel cells instead of gas engines. Three car makers have disclosed plans to lease a small number of new vehicles in California and a few in European nations. Hyundai is expected to be first out of the gate this spring, followed next year by Toyota and Honda. California wants at least 15% of new vehicles sold in the state to produce zero emissions by 2025, and automakers will have to sell electric or fuel cell vehicles to meet that requirement. Under the mandate, fuel cell cars will get twice as many emission credits as electric vehicles. Car companies have to determine how hydrogen vehicles will compete with far less expensive gas and diesel-powered cars. The biggest drawback to hydrogen is the initial cost. Next is figuring out how to get the cars to fueling stations where they're pumped with compressed hydrogen. This is the Wall Street Journal Report.
Hey, developers, are your apps breaking? Users complaining? People freaking out? New Relic can help.
You can?
We can. New Relic is the easiest way for software developers to build faster, better performing web and mobile apps.
Is it complicated and pricey?
Nope. It only takes 5 minutes to get up and running. Start getting code level visibility into users using your apps in real time. See bottlenecks, spot bugs, and fix problems fast before they ever affect the people using your app. Plus, New Relic is free.
I'm in love.
Go to newrelic.com/radio in the next 5 minutes, and we'll send you a free T-shirt and give you 30 days of New Relic Pro for free. That's newrelic.com/radio right now for the shirt and the Pro monitoring tools. newrelic.com/radio.
What the heck was that? That wasn't me screaming, although sometimes I feel like it. But I will tell you about, you'll be screaming for joy when you go to Clyde's Sport Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. I'll tell you what, if you're going fishing, stop there for your bait, your tackle, your hooks, your lines, your weight, you name it. If you got a broken rod tip or you need your reel repaired or fresh line wound on it, Clyde's can do all that. They got the trolling baits for stripers. They got everything for trout season, for perch, and everything in between, bass, all of that. The kind folks there will help you out with your selection as well. Don't forget, they've got the Browning line of firearms, among others. And if you're looking for a new shotgun, like I said, I was in there the other day. There were two Brownings walking out the door at that very moment. One was an A5, a friend of mine was buying, and then another guy was looking at the Maxis. That's the one. Yeah, so they were happy with their purchases, and there was another fellow in there buying a shotgun for personal protection. So, you know, and another guy looking at the handgun. So it's kind of a nice place to be and hang out on the weekend if you want. Make sure you buy something, though. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Their website is ClydeSports.com. Phone number 410-242-6108, 242-6108. Fishing hotline is 247-FISH, 247-3474 for Clyde Sports Shop.
For breaking news and local coverage, turn to Fox News and the WCBM Maryland News Center. And stay tuned for stimulating talk throughout the day. Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
That by the way, we've been playing Cut 'Em All Jack for a couple of years now. www.huntingmusic.com. That song is by Steve Conover, and you just go to huntingmusic.com, and you can download a lot of his music available by iTunes. So Steve's a friend, and he did a lot of the Duck Commander music for years before people who knew who Duck Commander was. So, Keith, you a waterfowler?
Oh yeah.
No, okay. Oh, that's right. We talked about goose breasts. That's right.
Yeah.
How was your season?
It was good. We got the teal.
Yeah.
I hunt the lower chop tank in the early fall.
Right.
And in the November, when the November split started, we really got into the greenwing teal, and we just love those things. They're just like buzz all around you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in the first split, where I live, it's mostly wood ducks, and when it really turned on for me was January.
Yeah.
I had an incredible January season because most of the river was frozen, and where I hunt, there was a big hole. And the geese and, you know, the mallards, it was wonderful, absolutely wonderful. I the best season I've had in quite a while.
Yep. And I didn't get a duck day in. I killed a couple geese, but I didn't get a day in for ducks. I screwed up. Missed my date. But that happens. Oh well.
That was
my diver hunt. They killed limited canvasbacks. They killed bluebills and buffleheads, which is what's expected there. You know, I was hoping for some redheads or something else, but I missed my day. I didn't make it. So
yeah,
next year.
Usually I try to go do a diver hunt with my friends, and we didn't do it this year. The fellow that we used to go with over on the Road River has sold everything and headed south.
Wow.
And
oh, that's a shame.
Just didn't get it together this year for a diver hunt.
Yep.
That was mostly what I did when I was young.
Sure. All right. So if I want to go fishing, just as a way of review, we've got a few yellow perch left. Not that you can't catch yellow perch elsewhere and further downstream, and you know that
yeah,
type
you
of thing.
Catch them on their way to back down. That's for sure.
Yeah. Exactly.
And the white perch is still there's going to be additional runs of white perch this week.
Sure.
With the stable air temperatures, the water's going to warm up, and the next group will come on up.
I would say we're looking 2 weeks for hickory shad.
That would be a good guess.
Okay.
Yes. All right. I know that the guys told me they had gotten some alewife herring over in the Patuxent last week.
Okay.
And the hickory shad, yeah, they should start to move on up. Especially, like I said, I see that we've got a week of really nice weather.
Yeah, that's gonna spur everything. Yep, exactly right. We're gonna get a lot of rain this weekend, from what I heard. That's gonna muddy the water a little bit. But after that clears up, maybe Wednesday, Thursday, and into next weekend, it looks like that's gonna kick everything off.
Yeah,
let's hope. We got the first day of the trophy striped bass season on April 19th. First day of trout season today, so the trout are all stocked. They're all out there in put and take areas and every place else. We haven't talked about bass.
Well, there's, you know, right now there's some really good smallmouth bass fishing in the Upper Potomac, and walleye too.
I was out with John 2 weeks ago.
I'm jealous.
Well, we caught two fish. We had perfect water conditions, but it was windy, and we had it was like a classic cold front day, and it shut the fish off.
We'll do it.
Yep, we caught two walleyes. I was proud of myself, however. I did catch a giant golden red horse sucker and two fall fish. But you know, I offered him to John to see if he wanted to eat him, but he said no. So,
but anyway, you know that.
But
yes,
the next day, they caught 26 fish up to 26 inches.
Yeah. Well,
so you know,
the barometric pressure.
All of that, yeah. But yeah, there is tremendous walleye fishery up there, and there's some muskies too. We had a muskie bite off one of our jigs, and you know, we went back after him with the big stuff, and he didn't follow through. But that's all right. We know he's there. Let's put it that way. So,
but yeah, guys, you know, this time of the year when the river's running strong, the fish in the eddies is, you know, where they're finding the smallmouth and the
yes.
walleye, and then largemouth bass, you know, we're getting all kinds of entries in on the angler's log. You know, everybody's trying out their favorite community pond or farm pond
yep.
or, you know, tidal water, and the bass are there.
Yep.
They're cold, and the bite is very subtle,
yep.
But they're there, and boy, some guys have been catching some big ones.
No, that's good. And, we have a caller here. TR in Baltimore wants to talk to you there. Keith, hold on.
Okay.
Good morning, TR. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Question for both of you. And then I have a comment, some information on what one of the previous callers was asking. The DNR, do they have a major crimes unit? The reason I ask is I know as disgusting as poachers and all the rest of the violators are, and as much damage as they cause to the environment, they pale in comparison to certain government agencies and large corporations who just devastate the environment and the wildlife.
I would imagine that they do have some kind of task force.
I would suggest Maryland Department of the Environment,
yeah.
an MDE.
And then, yeah, if it's some kind of pollution case, yeah, it would be the Maryland Department of Environment.
Yeah, are you citing a specific fish kill or a certain incident in a certain place? Or
as you were talking about fish today, yeah, that came to mind with the waters that are polluted off of southeast Baltimore. And, you know, I could go on with different violations. It'd be nice, though, to have.
Well, look, TR, here's the deal. You're not. If it's a government agency, for example, Department of Public Works, you're not going to hear much about any kind of sewage spill or anything like that because they just don't report that stuff anymore. There are places where you can find that information, and there are literally scores of sewage spills, if that's what you're talking about.
No, that's the point. They don't report it.
They don't report it, and, you know, it's up to the sharp eyes, ears, and noses of the citizens to report it to the Maryland Department of the Environment. But the aging infrastructure of the city of Baltimore is in such horrible shape that we're never going to be able to swim in the inner harbor. We're going to be able to catch fish there, especially migratory fish like striped bass and yellow perch or white perch and so forth. But, you know, you're kind of, here's what's bothering me, TR, you're kind of dancing around this environmental damage issue, state agencies and, you know, big businesses and things like that. If you have a specific case, don't state it here. Go to the appropriate agency, and that's who we're trying to help you with. And that's when you said major crimes and all this stuff. We don't know if it's a crime. I'm not defending these guys. I'm just saying you don't use this show as some kind of a, you know, environmental platform and make these vague suggestions. Come out and say what you want to say, and then we'll try to help you with the proper agency.
Right. Now, here's my point. I just thought it would be great to have our guys in uniform with handcuffs and a gun to at least have them think twice before they do these certain things. I'll move on to the next thing. Earlier, a caller mentioned about the guy in California, the hypocritical politician.
Yeah, Leland Yee.
Yeah, you were both wrong, by the way. He hasn't done anything. He's accused of doing these things. And in fact, Mr. Ellis,
I said he was he was talking with, I believe, federal agents and promised to lead them to connect them with some gun runners. I haven't read the whole thing.
He's charged with conspiracy to traffic firearms, so you were way wrong.
Okay, goodbye. I was wrong. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I admit it. Keith, let's talk about some fishing. Grief.
Stuff.
Google the guy. Google the guy. Google senators, comma, guns, or Leland Yee. Google. You can read the whole thing on Bing News or Yahoo or Drudge or any of those places. Go ahead.
Well, Alan, I was going to tell you some other things that are going on for fishermen. Of course, we talked about the largemouth bass.
Yep. Yeah, and you were talking about the farm ponds. The shallower waters are the ones that are going to warm up first, right?
Yep.
Yep.
And fishermen should look, you know, later on. And, you know, and of course, we have a spring mode and a summer mode and a winter mode for fishing for largemouth bass.
Right.
And, of course, in the summer, for instance, it's early in the morning and late in the evening.
Yep.
Well, right now, believe it or not, it's gentlemen's hours.
Yeah, midday.
In the afternoon. And a sunny day, and if, like, for instance, the wind is blowing, get down to the windward end of the pond, because that warm surface water will be pushed down to that end, and that's what the bass are looking for.
Not only the warmer water, but the wind will blow the tiny food sources.
It'll blow the bait too.
The bait and everything else down to that end. You're exactly right.
Some other things. The crappie are schooled up.
There you go.
Especially in some of our tidal areas, that you know you can enjoy some great fishing with a, you know, like a shad dart or a little grub. Or
you got a couple spots.
Bobber.
Got a couple spots.
You know, the Fort Washington area, the tidal Potomac, and that spot they call the Spoils.
Oh yes.
On the other side of the Wilson Bridge.
Yep.
That's pretty hard to beat.
Yep.
All around those marinas where the water's deeper, around the piers.
Well, some of the other public ponds and things are going to be opening up to trolling motors and that type of thing. If you find any kind of brush piles or, you know, beaver lodges or something like that, you're going to be able to find crappies around the structure primarily.
Yep.
You're going to lose lose a lot of bait, but you know, nothing beats a jig and a minnow, that's for sure.
But even bridge piers.
Exactly.
The bridge that goes across the top of Liberty.
Yep.
You can fish there.
Nicodemus Bridge over Loch Raven there at Delaney Valley Road.
Those exactly. Are all, and then the one up at Deep Creek Lake. Those are all great places to fish.
Route 219 Bridge. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. Hang on there, Keith. Let's see. Who do I have to talk about? Let's talk about Splash into Spring. That's at Talbot Power Sports, Route 50 and East, and today only. It's all over after that. The headliners are the Can-Am Spider, Sea-Doo Personal Watercraft, and Can-Am ATVs. Huge savings and the best deals of the season. The Can-Am Spider, with its Y-frame design and 7 automotive technologies, you can count on an exhilarating and confident ride. From sport to touring, there's a Can-Am Spider for your riding style. Sea-Doo Personal Watercraft has over a dozen models to fit your style. The exciting new Spark is playful, easy to ride, and family-friendly, affordable. From beginning to luxury to performance, Sea-Doo has the perfect personal watercraft for your family. Get off-road, where adventure lives, on a Can-Am ATV, whether it's for work or play. Choose the Outlander or hunting, or the Renegade Sport 4x4. That's today only at Talbot Power Sports, 9477 Ocean Gateway. That's Route 15 Easton. Keith knows where that is. For food, door prizes, and fun, it's the Splash into Spring event featuring Can-Am and Sea-Doo. Chesapeake Outdoors. You can stop there on your way to see the folks at Talbot Power Sports, Chesapeake Outdoors. They have got the biggest selection of fishing and crabbing supplies and firearms on Ken Island, that's for sure. They've got shotguns and ammo for turkey. They've got the Avian X decoys and the zinc calls. For rockfish, they've got rods, reels, tackle for the Chesapeake Bay for tidal rivers and freshwater fishing. They've got a full selection of live and frozen bait. They've got the bucktails and parachutes by a local company called Spankin' Stripers. Obviously, they know what they're doing because they live here and they fish for our Chesapeake Bay Stripers. And they've got the biggest selection that I've ever seen of the Mojos, the 16, the 20, and 24-ounce trolling parachutes as well. And don't forget their full line of archery, and they're an archery pro shop. And if you clean your fish, I recommend you use a Bubba Blade, which is available at Chesapeake Outdoors. Route 50 East, exit 39B on Kent Island. That's exit 39B on Kent Island off Route 50 East. That is Dominion Road. The phone number, 410-604-2500, 604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors. And locally, we've got Fishbones Bait and Tackle for great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, trolling advice, up-to-date fishing and crabbing information. It's Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. You take Route 100 all the way to where it hits Mountain Road. From Mountain Road, you go towards Gibson Island, 2.5 miles. The address is 4729 Mountain Road if you want to put it in your GPS. All you need for any type of fishing, from perch to rockfish, they have the custom-poured, custom-painted, custom colors, hand-tied, hand-painted, beautiful selection of bucktails and parachutes and umbrellas right there at Fishbones Bait and Tackle. They also carry the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. It has their own name right on the lid. 410-360-0573. That's 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. 789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
But I'll take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get a bite all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your...
All right, we're with Keith Lockwood, DNR. What is your title, Keith? Outreach something?
Outreach and education.
Outreach and education guy. That's right, that's right. And we're talking about fishing for everything from crappies to white perch to yellow perch. And by the way, on Senator State Senator Lee... Folks, the best article you can read on him, in my opinion, is from Forbes. Go to Bing.com and Google Senator Yee, Y-E-E. This guy's a bad dude. He said it's alleged that he would know that his arms deal that he was attempting to facilitate would send money to the Moro Islamic Liberation Front, which would weapons would be intended to be imported into the U.S. and then distributed into North Africa. The Moro, M-O-L-F, Moro Islamic Liberation Front, M-I-L-F, bad dudes. I don't know. M-L-I-F means different things to different people, I guess, but it meant, what are you laughing at?
Everything's relevant.
That's all I got to say on that one. Okay, Keith, we got to wrap it up.
Okay.
All right. So basically, overall, you're saying just need a little bit more warm weather. Everything's going to break at one time, pretty much.
I would like to touch on a couple of things that I'm personally very excited about.
All right, do that.
Here is the Red Drum. I'm hoping they're coming back.
Okay.
And they should be, all those small Red Drum that we've been releasing for all these years.
Yeah, the puppy drum.
The little 14-inchers, and then last year it was the 16-inchers. They're going to be solidly into that 18 to 27-inch slot this year.
That sounds like good eating to me.
I'm really excited about those.
Yeah, if you got a spot, I'll be more than glad to, I'll be glad to come along and bait your hook for you.
Well, it's basically, it's a shallow water fishery anywhere from Tillman Island down to Chrisfield, to
right.
The Virginia border, and it's mostly on the eastern side. But Point Lookout and around the Patuxent Naval Air Station, that area has always been really good.
Honga.
And then, of course, Ocean City.
Honga.
Bays, and in the surf, it's been very, very good. And they're just, of course, they're a novelty for most of us, but what a delight those fish are.
And what else?
Some of the other things are despite some stories about winter kill of speckled trout, we're going to see speckled trout again this year.
Okay.
And then probably one of the biggest is the striped bass. That big 2011 year class is going to hit 18 inches this year.
Oh, that's going to be a great summer fishery.
Oh, it was the fourth highest spawn that we've seen, and their fish are going to be everywhere.
All right. That sounds like a good year coming up. Let's hope so. What are you hearing on crabs? Anything?
Not too much.
I know they're in the middle of the winter dredge survey right now.
Yeah, so. The ice really put them back on that survey.
Right.
But, they've been working on it. And
okay. Hey, we got
to
go.
All right.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate
you,
it. All right.
Care.
Thanks, Keith. Stay in touch. Thanks for joining us, folks. More of the Outdoors and Radio Show coming up next week, same time, same channel, right here on WCBM 680. My name's Alan Ellis. The Outdoors and Radio Show, Maryland Hunting Quarterly, Maryland Loves Crabs, all Facebook. You can